You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Vona. Nice to have you with us this Sunday evening. Joe Biden rose through the ranks, as they say, the political ranks, that is, serving in the this country in government, all the way up to becoming Vice President of the United States alongside Barack Obama. And everybody knows that today Biden is making a run for the presidency himself. That's certainly coming under scrutiny, too. But a new book just crossed my desk this past week. It's entitled Barack and Joe. And the author joins me this evening, Steve Levinson. The book is Barack and Joe, and he talks about the unique relationship between Joe Biden and Barack Obama, how it became, how they forged that relationship over time. What they overcame about one another, different personalities, certainly different backgrounds. A real intriguing book and in one that I know you'll enjoy. Steve, nice to have you with us.
Oh, great. Nice to be here.
Was there something about either Barack Obama or Joe Biden that caught your interest and wanted you, kind of inspired you to write this book?
Well, I've always been interested in the relationships between people in high places. I think I wrote a previous book called Kennedy and King, which was about Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy, partly because I like to look at how the people in power really determine history. And it's not so much that history is history just creates itself. It's the result of the relationships between individuals in the top of the political world.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and so, like with Kennedy and King, they created, a large part of the civil rights movement. Barack and Joe were interesting to me because I wanted to see how this relationship began and evolved in the White House in a way that was really, truly historic, because presidents and vice presidents don't normally get along the way these two guys did.
Yeah, I mean, and their backgrounds, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I can remember Barack Obama on numerous occasions talking about, growing up, certainly not in an affluent or well-to-do family. And I got the sense of what I know about Joe Biden's background, that he certainly had a different type of upbringing. So as you said, you would think that these guys from two completely opposite different backgrounds would have nothing in common, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but I do think that one thing they did sort of have in common was their backgrounds, how they grew up, in the respect that Obama came from not great wealth, and Biden also was from a working class family. His father sold cars, and they had some hard times early in his life, and they had to move and go to new places. So that was one thing that sort of connected them. But on another level, they were very different. They are very different personalities, as everybody can see. Obama is a kind of a reserved, quiet, very introspective guy who uses his words very carefully. And Joe is a very outgoing, gregarious guy who tends to spray words in all directions and sometimes gets him in trouble. That was something they had to work through.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're seeing it now on the campaign trail. But I remember even way back when he was campaigning, with Barack Obama, it's just his type of personality. So let me ask you, it's like, two guys from whose personalities are so different. What brings them together? Was it the fact that, hey, this is my VP, I don't want to keep things from him and vice versa. We've got world problems to solve here. I mean, what was it that brought them together? Was it the fact that their jobs made it necessary, or did they just over time learn to really like each other?
I think you hit it right there. I mean, originally this really was, and in some ways still is, a political marriage. Obama and Biden came together for political reasons. Obama liked Joe fundamentally, but he also knew that Joe would be good for him as his vice president, because Barack was a bit of a newcomer, and Joe had a great deal of experience both in the Congress, working with Congress, which is a very important thing for a president to have on his side, and also Joe's foreign policy experience, where Barack was a little bit less experienced. Those issues sort of initially kind of attracted Obama to Biden. But then once they got to know each other and Obama got to know Biden, Biden's a pretty hard guy not to like. as I've done my research on him and talked to a lot of people about him, he's just a very decent, friendly, outgoing, you know, kind of a wonderful guy. And he just, you know, put his spell on Obama, and the two of them sort of came together and, you know, they helped each other and really developed a fond, affectionate relationship.
I'm always told, and you sort of alluded to it, that, you know, in the past, and history would certainly prove this out, that vice presidents and their families, and presidents in their families, even though, you know, working side by side, you know, when the lights went off, you know, didn't really socialize, didn't get together much. And I always think that that's part and parcel of the wives. You know, Joe Biden's wife and Michelle Obama, how do they get along?
Well, they got along well. They went out and, you know, worked on various projects together. They were big together on helping military families. They developed a whole program for that and traveled and spoke together. But also the entire families were close. I mean, Joe's grandkids and Obama's kids used to have, you know, would have overnights together, and they would travel together, and it was sort of like a great melting pot of all of their families together. And you hit on another point, if I may, just in terms of how vice presidents and presidents have operated through the years. We talk a bit in the book about how the vice presidency was never established as something for the foundation of a firm friendship between the president and the vice president, because we all know in many respects the vice president only exists for one reason and one reason only, and that's, you know, to take over in the case of the death or the incapacity of the president. So there has been and there kind of was always a tension between presidents and vice presidents. I mean, even Lyndon Johnson felt that when he was around John Kennedy.
Right.
He always said that, you know, whenever he was in Kennedy's presence, he felt like, as he put it, a goddamn raven on his shoulder. So you get the sense that, you know, the relationship between a president and vice president has many levels, and that is one of them that is kind of a tension between them.
Now, this is what I drew after finishing the book, and I agree with you. I agree with what you were saying. But Biden had a wealth of experience, government experience, you know, congressional experience. So he was not only a sounding board, but, you know, certainly a reservoir of knowledge that Barack Obama, and I don't think every president has that luxury, and I think in this case he did. So let me ask you, does that also add to their bonding and the fact that Obama looked up to him, you know, older, maybe in terms of maybe being a mentor?
Well, I think partly what you're hitting on there is one of the keys to this relationship, and that is respect. There was a lot of mutual respect between these two men. Biden immensely respects and admires Obama, and it goes the other way, too. I think Obama has admired and respected Joe for his experience and for what he brought to the table. I mean, he was basically what you'd call a chief counselor to Obama, that he was a guy in the room to the very last, whispering in Obama's ear after all the other advisors had left. And Obama appreciated that. Biden was also able, in those private meetings with advisors, to stir up conversation, to make sure that the conversations got real, got truthful, and so that Obama was able to hear everything he needed to hear from his advisors that he might not have been able to stimulate himself, because, you know, advisors speak a certain way around the president. But if Joe is prompting them and sort of playing a devil's advocate, the flow of information was much stronger, and Obama appreciated having Biden in the room to stir that conversation.
Steve, with that said, then let me ask you, especially after the research that you did for the book, did you ever get the sense that Biden was doing this from a self-serving point of view, or did he just want to see Barack Obama succeed?
I think he really wanted to see Obama succeed. I think he wanted to see that presidency succeed. I think he wanted America to succeed. You know, there's always in the back of everybody's mind when you're in that position of where do I go from here? And, you know, I can't say that it wasn't in Joe's mind. And it obviously became, you know, front and center in his mind when the 2016 election came around and he debated whether to run. And now that he's decided to run again, I think, you know, you can't help but think that a vice president always has that in mind, and I think that is part of the tension, again, between a president and a vice president. The president in most situations may think that the vice president is in it for himself and for his future, and less so than for the whole administration and for the team. But I think we got a little less of that from Joe.
Yeah, interesting, because, you had the unique way of bringing both of these men's personalities to the surface. And I want to continue in that vein, but I do want to take a quick pause and let folks know that they're listening to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. My guest this week is author Steve Levinston, and his new book is Barack and Joe. He's done a great job of bringing to the surface, if you will, this unique and extraordinary partnership between President Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, and former Vice President Joe Biden, how two men both matured and became one another's soundboard. And Steve, for lack of another word, I got the impression after reading the book that, you know, of all the insiders, and when you're in that White House, and we're learning that more today than perhaps 30 or 40 years ago, because the information comes out on a 24/7 basis, that there's a lot of people surrounding the president. They want to get his ear. They want to give their advice. Maybe they're jockeying for position. But I got a sense after finishing Barack and Joe that, in spite of Barack Obama having those people, in his circle, Biden was really was his go-to guy. Is that the fact?
Well, I think that's a good way to put it. I think Obama had some really fabulous people around him.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before, I think that part of Joe's job was really to get those people really thinking and talking and coming up with the best possible decisions that could be made. And at times, Joe also was a good contributor to helping those conversations along with his own ideas. I mean, one interesting thing I found in talking to people who knew him and saw him in various situations was that, you know, he's got this reputation as being sort of a loose cannon and always jabbering and kind of not that much in control of himself. But in talking to people who were in the Situation Room with him and in other places, they were really surprised that once he got into a situation like that, he was remarkably focused, well prepared, and knew all the issues at hand and knew exactly what needed to be done in those situations. So there are parts, I think, to the man that we don't really know about, because a lot of those happened behind closed doors. But some of these people who were there are able to let us know about that.
There was a I remember the death of Joe Biden's older son, right, Bo Biden. And he, at least, you know, from what I saw on, you know, the newscasts, was really for the longest time, inconsolable. You lost a child. Now, it doesn't matter how old the child is. It was still, a son that he loved dearly. What was the, did Barack Obama, did he play a pivotal role? Because, you know, it'd be very easy, as you were talking about being focused, for a guy to kind of just lose his way. I mean, you know, you lost a child, a loved one. Who cares about world problems after that? Nothing really matters. Did Biden have any difficulty, and did Barack Obama kind of, play the role of someone who helped Joe get over that hurdle?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the loss of Bo was devastating to Joe, and actually it was devastating to Barack as well. And, you know, Joe did have some very difficult times during that period, and he and Barack became much, much closer through that difficult time. And Obama was very understanding and helpful, and gave him a shoulder whenever he needed it. And also, you know, when Joe was trying to decide, well, what do I do? Do I work for you right now, or do I go off and see my ill son? Obama was always the first guy to say, you go be with Bo. If Bo needs you, you go be with him. And Joe would go, but Joe would feel a little guilty about that, because he knew that his priority in many respects was the country, was Obama, and doing his job. But the two of them just worked it out so beautifully that Obama and Biden really became much, much closer because of that tragedy. And it was really, that was the thing, in a way, that sealed the relationship, I think.
You've probably heard this more times than most people, is that, if you choose politics as a career, then, one, you have certainly a certain level of of ambition, but many times people, I think we become very critical of politicians, and you know, certainly with good reason in many, many cases, that, you know, they're looking for power, and you get to be president and vice president. It's the pinnacle of power, not only here in this country, but certainly throughout the world. In your research, did you ever come away, or have you come away with a sense that either one of these guys or together were more out for power and self-improvement and self-gain than anything else? Or were these two selfless men who really cared about, you know, average people?
I think you hit on a good point there, and it's in particular in relation to the relationship that, you know, as we say, this was a political marriage, and these are political animals. So the relationship wasn't all hunky-dory all the time, because these are men who have ambitions and who have egos and who have visions for America. And sometimes those things collided and caused some tensions in the relationship. I mean, as we know, that Joe, you know, was planning to run, perhaps if he could get over his mourning for Beau in the 2016 election. He was sort of struggling to get through that and was thinking seriously about it. And his aides around him thought it would be a good idea if he was looking good and in possibly mounting a run. But Obama was not really behind it. We're not really sure why Obama wasn't so much behind Joe getting into the 2016 election. But it was, you know, partly because Obama was much more in favor of Hillary. And he thought that Joe would have a hard time displacing Hillary because Hillary really was the anointed one at that time. And that caused some, you know, some tension between them, you know. And there's tension even today with Joe's run for the, you know, this particular run for the presidency, in that, you know, Obama hasn't been out front and center supporting Joe in the way that you might think that someone who is the best buddy of somebody might do. But again, politics is getting in the way, because Obama is basically the most popular Democrat in the country, and he has a lot of capital to spend. And he has to be very careful on where he spends that. If Joe winds up not becoming the nominee, and Obama's already been out there, you know, campaigning for him or helping him in some way, that sort of diminishes Obama's power to help the next candidate or the actual nominee. So there are these tensions that are always present in this kind of relationship. But I think these guys have navigated it pretty darn well, given what you said earlier about this just being two guys at the pinnacle of power.
Steve, the other thing that comes to mind here is the fact that Barack Obama was the first African American president in U.S. history. That's in the history books. There's no denying that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now, and I think I remember the first election when he first got elected. I remember Michelle Obama getting up and made a speech herself. And it still resonates with me to this very day. And when she said, "I have never been prouder of this country," and I got the sense that, hey, it's about time. So, you know, there were a lot of people, especially African Americans in this country, finally saw light at the end of the tunnel. Finally saw, hey, you know, it's about, and you know, rightfully so, it's about time. How is Biden in terms of race relations? You know, what was he, you know, has he been a supportive of minorities in politics, in power in general? I mean, that would also have something to do with their relationship.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, that might have been part of what Obama saw in Biden as well, because Biden has been a long supporter of the civil rights movement ever since he was a kid, basically. I mean, he loves to tell the story of when he was 19 and he was after his first year at college, he went and became a lifeguard at a community pool. And he was the only white guy who was a lifeguard there. And he hadn't really had much experience with African Americans, but he spent that summer really getting to know them, and they had a good time together. But he also started to see how different their lives were. This was in the 1960s, and, you know, began to understand that a lot needed to be done. I mean, one day one of the guys asked him, you know, "Do you have a gas can?" And Obama was confused. He didn't understand, why are you asking me if I have a gas can? And the kid said, well, I have to go visit my aunt or a relative in South Carolina or somewhere, and we're not really able to stop at gas stations along the way, so we have to, you know, bring gas with us. And that kind of like hit Joe over the head and said, wow, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done in this country in terms of civil rights. And then he went on, he went to law school and he worked for in civil rights, but he wasn't really on the front lines of marching. He was more trying to do it from the inside, which you can see he's done for most of his life. He's been on the inside, but trying to work for, you know, improving the rights of minorities.
What was, when it was all said and done, at the end of the day, let's put the politics aside, let's put the titles of president, vice president aside, let's put the power aside. Under any other circumstances, knowing what you know and the research that you did for the book Barack and Joe, could you see these two guys being friends in any other circumstance, you know, apart from the political world?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I do think so. I think that you know, it was the political world and it was president and vice president that brought them together. But you know, if these guys had met up under different circumstances, just their characters and their way of operating, I think they would have liked each other, because, you know, relationships are funny things, and we look for things in others that might be missing in us. And I think they both saw a little bit of something that they saw in the other guy that sort of helped them become more of a person. You know, Biden's outgoing nature and his authenticity was a very big kind of attraction to Obama. And Obama's sort of very focused and smart, intelligent way of doing things and thinking through things was just a real kind of attraction for Biden. So, I mean, you could see that removed from the political world, these two guys could have met and saw those virtues in each other and been great buddies, you know, in some other arena.
Okay. Interesting. As we start to wind down, and I want to go back because you had alluded to it, you know, Joe Biden is now, in the latest polls, he seems to be the leading contender in the Democratic pool, if you will, for president. But again, Barack Obama, even though he's no longer president, carries a tremendous amount of clout, not only with his party, but with, I think, with a lot of voters in this country. If it comes down to, you know, the longer this goes on, whether or not, you know, Biden continues to take the lead, if Barack Obama doesn't join in or doesn't jump on the bandwagon, so to speak, do you think that would have any effect on their relationship?
Well, it's hard to say. I like to think of it is they're in a new phase of their relationship at this time. Mm-hmm. You know, they're. This book is focused on their time in the White House and all of how they work together there. The book only goes up to you know, Biden's announcement, basically, for running for president in 2020. And it's hard to say. I think that they always will, and they always have sort of adored each other in a way. And this is just a big hurdle that they'll have to get past. And you know, it's like any relationship has its pushes and its pulls. And I do think that the strength of this relationship is so profound, and they've been through so much together that, you know, even if Joe doesn't make it to the nomination and you know, he hasn't felt that Barack has been his best buddy getting there, I think Joe is of a nature that he gets over that and that they realize that's politics and this is friendship is another thing.
Yeah. In the closing, we'll, you know, before I do the closeout credits, just enough time just to ask you the last question. Did you learn to like, I don't know what your relationship, I mean, I don't know what your feelings were prior to writing the book, as you talked about, I mean, obviously there was something that drew you to researching these two men, but, did they become bigger in your eyes after writing the book? Was there something about one or the other that really, that caused you to admire them more so than when they were serving as president and vice president?
Yeah, I was surprised really at how well the two of them managed to get over the many hurdles that they had to get over. You know, we all saw all of the many Biden so-called gaffes and how that caused so much trouble on the campaign trail and then in the White House, and Joe's still suffering from it today. But I just think that they were a model, really, for how people should behave as friends and in a relationship. They sort of kept their eye focused on the long term, on the big picture, so that the little stuff, the ups and downs of the day-to-day, and in any relationship, should be less important than what you're trying to achieve in the relationship or in your job or whatever, than anything. And I think they sort of put that forward for us and for the nation.
I think if you and I were to go out and poll people in general, you know, just go out there right this moment and just start to poll people, they would say, you know, politicians are just self-serving, selfish, you know, individuals who just look for power. And in many cases, that's certainly true. We've seen that throughout history. But this book, you know, brought to light, as you said, two men that had power, and they certainly rose to power as president and vice president. But you got the sense that putting all that aside, and you said it yourself, that you could easily see these two guys, you know, meeting on the golf course or just, you know, meeting somewhere far apart from the political world and just, you know, getting involved in conversation and becoming, you know, friends. So it really showed a human side to the political image that a lot of people have of anybody, whether it's at the federal level, the state level, or even at the local level. People certainly should go out and buy the book. In fact, I said to Steve earlier, the timing couldn't be better. I mean, Joe Biden is now a contender, Democratic contender for the presidency. Everybody is watching on the sidelines to see what Barack Obama will do. Will he come out and support his friend Joe or what? That still remains to be seen. So the book Barack and Joe is certainly a great read, especially as we go forward with the campaign. Steve, if people want to get more information about the book and the efforts that you put forth in writing it, well, how can they do that?
Well, as always, I think people should support their local independent bookstores. It'll be available there. And or online, you can read all about them. One thing I say about Barack and Joe is that it's kind of a nice tonic to look at the world today, to look at the world in the past compared to what we're going through today. It's sort of a little window on some decency.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think anybody picks up the newspaper, puts on a television, and it just seems to be one you know calamity after another. And that's not to say, and Steve certainly isn't saying that was not the case here. They certainly had hurdles, both personal and professional hurdles, but perhaps done in a much more civil manner. If you have any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me, especially regarding tonight's broadcast with Steve Levington. My email is alvona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. Or just go to our safe and secure website, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and see the host of programming that we do all for you. For the public eye, this is Alvona.